Good evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your Lehigh Valley Discourse host this evening, and I'm really excited about the guests that you're going to be hearing from this evening on the show. With me tonight is the mayor of Bethlehem, Mayor Robert Donchez. I'll call him Bob. Is that okay?
Sally, it's good to be with you. You're a good friend, absolutely.
Okay, thanks. What we're going to be talking about tonight is a little bit about what Bob presented to the leaders of Bethlehem about a week or so ago when he did his State of the City. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, for our listeners who may not be from Bethlehem or may not know the history very well, I just want to do a little sort of brief glimpse at Bethlehem's history. And Bob, please feel free to add in anything. Okay, founded in 1741, Bethlehem is known throughout the U.S. and the world for its Moravian heritage and three centuries of industrialization and music. Bethlehem Steel, Bach Choir, Waterworks are just a few of these. It is over 19 square miles, and Bethlehem's population as of 2010 census was about 74,982.
Well, if I may interject.
Sure.
We're probably close right now to 76,000.
Really?
And based on the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission's report, probably in the next 10 years to 15, we're projected probably to go to about 86,000. So the Lehigh Valley as a whole, both counties, Lehigh and Northampton County, we're seeing an increase in population.
Amazing.
And especially when I look at Bethlehem, especially on the downtowns, the young millennials, there's a tremendous demand for housing in our downtowns. Now we see with the development on the south side that I'm sure we'll talk more about later, there's a demand for new apartments and housing on the south Bethlehem. So, and this is probably true for all three cities, that many people are moving in from the suburbs into the cities where they want to be close to the downtowns, the restaurants, walkability, recreation,
absolutely,
everything.
Yeah.
And so that's very important to me and to the citizens of Bethlehem. But I think so we're probably projected for plus 10,000 in the next 10 to 15 years.
I hadn't realized that. That's amazing. Boy, we're going to be really getting up there. The other interesting factor with Bethlehem, in addition to the increase in population that Bob just noted, is that it's actually located in two counties.
True. Bethlehem, I believe, is the only third-class city in the Commonwealth that we are in. Two-thirds of the city, south side and the north, northeast, is Northampton County. West Bethlehem is Lehigh County. It's kind of a unique setup in a sense. Right now, as you may be aware, and the citizens may be aware, we're going through a consolidation of our 911 system.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I get asked a lot is people who live in the west side, will they be part of Lehigh County's 911? But the answer is no, they'll be part of Northampton County. So the whole city of Bethlehem will be moving into Northampton County's 911. We have to do it by May of 2019, just like the city of Allentown has to consolidate with Lehigh County's 911 by May of 2019.
Okay, that's coming up fast. When the original talked about it, it seemed like so far
away. We've been talking about it for the last 2 years. We meet weekly with Northampton County. It's going well, and we could even talk more about that a little bit later, too.
Sure, sure. I mentioned briefly in the history that Bethlehem had the waterworks, and they had built the first waterworks in America that pumped water for public use. So that was the first century of industrialization, correct, Bob?
That's correct. I mean, last year was the 275th birthday of the city of Bethlehem. The Moravians are really the foundation of the Bethlehem community. Very progressive in industry with the first waterworks in the United States. Very progressive in education.
Absolutely.
First women's college. They were very much way ahead of their time as far as against discrimination. Very much pro-education, pro-healthcare nursing. So we really have a very rich history, and I think, you know, we're very fortunate to be under consideration to be selected as one of the World Heritage UNESCO sites. And that would be a great boost for the city of Bethlehem. And Charlene Donchez Mowers from Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites deserves a tremendous amount of credit for all the work that she has done over the years to really talk about Bethlehem and Bethlehem tourism. And we are on the historic Moravian community location, too, by the federal government. So we're very fortunate. We have a rich history.
So the world history that I know, I think Charlene had spent years trying to put that application together and getting recognized. Is there any time frame on that?
Be considered for the World Heritage, it could take place basically for the next 7 to 8 years.
We have a
commission that I formed of very prominent people throughout the valley. We'll have to start doing some fundraising, and obviously the designation comes from the federal government, but we're very hopeful. But it really, just the fact that we're being considered puts us in a very unique league of cities, and so we're very hopeful.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, in addition to that, I mean, Bethlehem has been noted as the top 100, top 50 to live in, to retire in, correct?
Well, we just were cited about 2 weeks ago as one of the safest cities in the United States out of 485 cities that were studied. And Money Magazine has considered us one of the best cities to retire in. Huffington Post considers Bethlehem to have one of the nicest downtowns of the fall. And the list goes on. So it's basically, you know, quality of life issues are very important to the citizens of Bethlehem. And, you know, it's a safe community, a clean community with a very good public school system and a very high quality of life, and that's what the public's looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether you're a millennial or a boomer,
absolutely,
retiring,
right,
you know, that's the type of city you want to live mm-hmm. in. Yeah, great. Well, before we go on to all of the matters of Bethlehem, listeners, I want to give you a little bit about Bob's background. And again, he'll chime in here if there's things that he wants to make sure that you understand about his background. But he has an education background. He was a Liberty. He's a Bethlehemite. His dad worked for the police department.
Correct. Detective.
Detective. And Bob has been devoted to Bethlehem almost all his life. I think probably when he was at Liberty High School, he probably got into the Young Democrats group and started doing his
I'm going to date myself here, but I've been going to city council meetings since I was in high school.
Wow.
I just had an interest in government and politics. Robert Kennedy, JF Kennedy, many of us baby boomers are Kennedy fans. And so politics, city government always was very important to me. And my parents taught us to give something back to the community. Public service was very important. So I've been going to town hall meetings since since town hall opened. And I even remember going to some meetings, really maybe at 12, 13 years old, when city hall, city council meetings were actually held at the Bethlehem golf course on the second floor where the restaurant is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, prior to town hall, council meetings were held at the golf course and the restaurant on the second floor, believe it or not.
Yeah, wow, yeah. That's incredible. Well, so you can see he's been politically involved in Bethlehem for a long time, but he's also been recognized throughout the community for a variety of things here. And back in the 70s, it was the Outstanding Young Men in America. Then he was named to the Susquehanna University's Russell Galt Award for Teaching Excellence. Now, you taught at Allen, correct?
Taught 35 years, government, William Allen High School. Had a great career there, retired 10 years ago, and I wouldn't have traded it in for anything.
10 years ago already.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, actually.
Oh, that's amazing.
Time goes by fast.
Okay. In 2000, he was named to International Who's Who of Public Service. He's received several awards named to Who's Who among American teachers from 1990 to 2002. He was a part of the U.S. Presidential Scholars Program. He got Teacher Recognition Award there. And the Allentown Education Association Teacher of the Year when he was at William Allen.
That's right.
That's quite an accomplishment.
That was a tremendous honor. I mean, I was very fortunate that I taught half-day AP American Government. And then the other half, I taught the lowest tracks of American government or U.S. history. So I had a good balance, each day, which is exactly what I wanted. And I keep in touch with a lot of students who graduated. But I had a great career. I really enjoyed urban education, the diversity, because I grew up in South Bethlehem. One block away, John Morgan Ely. You know, we grew up together. He's the district attorney. I'm the mayor. But the fact that I think growing up in South Bethlehem with a very diverse community back then, I think made me a better person, to be very honest with you. And no one really looked at the color of your skin. We played ball up at Lehigh Fields on the south side at that time. And we ate each other's homes, and we never thought about anybody being a Hungarian or Slovak or Windish or Latino or African-American. And it was just a great place to grow up.
Yeah, well, they had a lot of languages. I think in
yes.
two square city blocks, there were like 20
yes.
languages at
yes.
one time.
You're
in
exactly
South Bethlehem.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. The South Side was a very unique place because you had all the ethnic groups built around the churches
mm-hmm.
and the neighborhoods. And, you had the Italian neighborhood, you had Slovak Hill, as it was called, near the Slovak church, and over by Holy Ghost, it was the German area in a sense. And so it was really a great place to grow.
Yeah, very, very diverse. Really nice. Well, in addition to that, as you heard, he's been going to city council meetings unofficially since he was a teenager, but officially he's been a part of city council since 1996, correct?
Right.
And as a part of that, he was president of city council at two different times, 1998 to 2002 and 2008 to 2012. He's been involved in public safety, and you're going to hear a little bit about his sort of platform and his desires in that area. Policing, which I think based on the award or the acknowledgement of a safe city, been good. Finance Committee, oh boy, yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that. Parks and Public Property. So he has had a really rounded background that you brought then to your role as mayor, correct?
Well, being elected to council in 1996 and then serving as president for a total of 8 years during the course of my tenure on city council, it really prepares you in a very positive way to be mayor. But even when you're mayor, there's so many unexpected things that you just are not prepared for that you really have to learn. I never believed I would deal with so many personnel issues, for example, as mayor. And but, you know, it was a great training as being a member of council. And I kind of wanted to focus in, finance, public safety, public works, and the park system, and obviously community and economic development. And I think we're doing a good job.
Yeah. So would you recommend that for somebody who aspires to follow in your footsteps?
I really believe that if you're going to run for mayor, you need to be involved in city government or the community. I think one of the reasons why I was always successful running for city council was I was very involved in a lot of different boards, commissions, authorities, nonprofits. And you establish a good network of people, and then when you run, those people, and I'm very bipartisan, will help you financially, but, you know, they get the word out. So I think, number one, you really need to be involved in your community. And then number two, I think being on city council is a very good training ground for, running for mayor.
And when he talks about boards, I have two sheets of paper here, listeners, that lists his board membership. But just to give you an idea, the board of directors of the Hispanic Center of Lehigh Valley, Lehigh Northampton Transportation Authority, Bethlehem Economic Development Corporation, Bethlehem Tourism, South Bethlehem Neighborhood Center, Bethlehem Public Library, Bethlehem Zoning Board. So the list goes on and on. So, yes, you did have quite a background.
I've covered everything.
You certainly have. Wow.
I've covered everything.
And you're still going every night of the week.
Yes.
Regardless.
Almost every night.
That's crazy. As I mentioned when I introduced you, Bob, you recently spoke to the leaders of the community through the Bethlehem Area Chamber Breakfast at Steel Stacks. Mm-hmm. Could you provide our listeners just sort of a little bit of a recap of that, especially what's happened in your 4 years here as mayor of Bethlehem?
Well, each year I'm privileged to give the State of the City speech at ArtsQuest, sponsored by the Bethlehem Chamber. And it's kind of an overview of what's been accomplished over the past 12 months, and also your goals for the coming year. I think, you know, when I became mayor in 2014, my goals were very simple. You know, public safety, really turn around the finances of the city, a good quality of life, parks and recreation, community economic development, and basic services, and going after blight. And I think, you know, when you look at the finances of the city today, we formed an advisory committee of prominent CEOs in the city, and Dave Wrong, our business administrator, did a wonderful job, and we projected a 5-year financial model. And we were looking over 5 years, a deficit of $44, $45 million.
Because when you came in office, we were not doing
That's
well.
Correct.
We weren't rated
our,
well,
our
correct?
Our bond rating was BBB-. So, and over the course of 4 years, we went from BBB- to A+ with a stable outlook. And that $44 million projected deficit, we were able to get down to $12 million.
Fantastic.
And I only, in the course of four budgets, if this was my fifth budget, we raised revenue by $4 million, but we've cut expenses by almost $15 million. So really, when I'm looking at a budget for, let's say, 2019, I start each year, as all mayors do, with a $2 to $3 million deficit simply mm-hmm. because of health care and pensions.
Pensions, yeah.
And so you're right off, you know, starting January 1, you already know you're close to a $2.5 to $3 million deficit. And our revenue in the city doesn't grow as fast as $2.5 to $3 million a year. And it's really tough to cut expenses. You don't want to lay police, fire, or paramedics off, or city workers. And you don't want to cut the street programs. Last year, we paved more roads. We have 250 miles of streets in the city of Bethlehem, 19 square miles of roads. And that's more overlays than we did ever before. And so for the last 2-3 years, I've been emphasizing more overlays of streets. And we'll continue to do that in 2018 because we're playing catch-up. And we have three new fire engines on order for the next couple of years. And You know, we usually get one new paramedic van each year, and we get between six and eight cruiser cars each year. You have to keep putting money into some basic services so we could provide those services to the city of Bethlehem. I mean, we are a very safe city. We have an excellent police department. We do a lot of community service work. Mark DeLuzio has done an excellent job. We're in the neighborhoods with a lot of unmarked cars, community policing, because they know the blue plates on an unmarked car, so we use regular license plates. And sometimes if we're going to make a big arrest, you know, you have to bring in police officers from another community. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes that could take up to 12 months till you get the information to make an arrest. I think one thing that did surprise me this year, to be very honest with you, is when Tom Decker, the head of our paramedics, came to me back in August when we were just starting to talk about the 2018 budget. And he said, would I consider buying soft body armor for the paramedics? And that's equivalent to what the police wear, bulletproof vest. We call it soft body armor. And I said, why? And he says, because of the number of cases now, because of the opioid crisis and the heroin and the fentanyl, that the people who that they're responding to on 911 calls, they're becoming more violent. And some of our paramedics are getting hit. And I said, absolutely. So we purchased 44. And they should be arriving at the end of this month or early April. And so all the paramedics will have a soft body vest for protection. To me, that's almost unbelievable. But we are dealing with an epidemic in the heroin crisis with the overdoses. And in Bethlehem, the police, fire now, and paramedics use Naloxone. And the Naloxone has saved, in the city of Bethlehem, in 1 year, 100 lives. We would have had 100 deaths of an OD of heroin, but the fact that we now equipped everyone with Naloxone has saved in 1 year, and I said that in a budget address, an unbelievable 100 lives have been saved in 1 year with Naloxone.
That's incredible, Bob. I didn't realize you hear the numbers, and I know Pennsylvania's had some problems, but I didn't realize that it's close to home. The numbers were that large.
You know, 3.5 years ago when Governor Wolf was elected, I was served as chair of the Drug and Alcohol Committee. And when I was teaching, my duty was, you know, chair of the crisis committee called Student Assistance Program, and we dealt with a lot of controversial issues of drugs and alcohol and abuse and everything else when I was teaching. But This heroin fentanyl epidemic is just, it's an epidemic, and I don't know what the answer is. We need more mental health institutions, more mental health care, but it really is scary, the number of young people and older people. And this is an issue, Sally, that goes across the barriers. It makes no difference what race you are, it makes no difference what your age is, and it makes no difference how wealthy you are, because our county coroner told me several months ago that a young MIT grad they found dead of an OD in a car.
Aww.
I mean, it's sad that this is an epidemic that we really have to address as a country and a society, and but it really is very scary.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break, listeners. My guest this evening, as you've heard, is Mayor Bob Donchez, Mayor of the City of Bethlehem. I'm Sally Hanlon, and this is Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Good evening and welcome back. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse with our guest this evening, who is Mayor Bob Donchez, Mayor of the City of Bethlehem. And we are talking about his recent presentation to the leaders of the community regarding the status of Bethlehem. But we're talking history, we're talking current, and we're talking future in the show. So, Bob, it's great to have you, and I know we could talk all night.
Sally, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
When we took our break, we were talking a little bit about the opioid crisis and how it has impacted Bethlehem. And you were mentioning that 100 lives have been saved this past year, 2017.
100 lives have been saved through the use of Naloxone. That's correct.
Yeah. Wow. And soft body armor is something that's
planned this
year?
Soft body armor with the paramedics. They should be receiving soft body armor sometime at the end of this month or April. And we also just announced maybe about a month ago an agreement with, we call it the BPAIR program, Bethlehem Police Assisting and Recovery, that if somebody is an addict, they could come to police headquarters, no questions asked, and we will try to get them in place to treatment that night.
Yeah.
And we're in a partnership with, I believe it's the Bangor Police Department, too. So that's a very important program. Our health director, Krista Wedrich, does an excellent job. Looking out in the community for health. But the opioid crisis, heroin, you could get a small bag of heroin for $5 now, the equivalent of a little package of sugar that you get at a restaurant. And it's so cheap, it's so accessible.
And laced with other stuff.
And it's so laced, it's so much stronger, and the fentanyl is extremely very dangerous. That, you know, I told Chief DeLuzzo, if there's new technology and new equipment out there that you need to test fentanyl, let me know. We'll get it because I want to make sure our officers are protected because I don't want them touching it or inhaling it because you could die from that. So you're dealing with some very powerful synthetic-laced drugs like synthetic marijuana, nicknamed Black Tar. That's out there, very prevalent, very cheap. And so we're probably looking at probably the biggest crisis in drugs that we've had, maybe going back 10 or 15 years, where we were dealing with a lot of crack and cocaine and ice back then. And then, obviously, where it really began in the late 60s. But it's a serious issue. It's a serious epidemic. And you're starting to notice when you look at the obits that many families now are actually saying that it was an overdose. And that's something that you've never saw before.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's a health issue. It's a family issue. It's an economic issue. It's a public safety issue. And it's an issue that's going to have to be addressed by everyone.
Well, and I'm glad to hear this B program that you mentioned, because in the past, all the treatment was, let's put them in jail because they're, and that's not the answer.
No. Yeah. I mean, I think we really do need more mental health care in the United States. That's just my opinion. Because, you know, we used to have Allentown State Hospital here.
Correct.
And that closed. And then the question is, where do many of these people who need help, where do they go? And, you know, the accessibility is extremely important. But, you know, the two hospitals do an excellent job at reaching out. They do, since they're nonprofits, they have to do so much community service work in a sense. And they both should be commended for that. But this is a very serious health issue. And what I learned when I served on the governor's transition team for the drug and alcohol is that we're an urban area, but many times this problem is much worse in a rural area than even an urban area. And I was surprised to learn that, you know, when we met in Harrisburg. And I kind of drafted the final report for the governor going back, you know, and recommended Naloxone. And I'm glad that we're using here in the city of Bethlehem.
Wow. Well, and this is something that, you know, 5 years ago we couldn't plan for. And
absolutely.
Talk about city finances and things that come up as you're doing something.
Right.
Now, you had mentioned that you were able to get the bond rating up and into a really good place. Now, listeners, you may not realize, and Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of our money for the city in the past came from real estate tax transfer.
The real estate tax is still the largest tax a revenue for the city of Bethlehem. Our budget this year is roughly $76 million. We had a very small tax increase because I look at every possible way to consolidate our workforce. There's around 604 workers in the city of Bethlehem, one of the lowest points ever. But there's a point where you just can't cut anymore because it's going to affect services. And since we're, you know, I'm a strong advocate of public safety and the police, and now I want to spend more money on overlaying streets, and we're redoing our parks. That's something we may want to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
We just finished a park study. And to be very honest with you, our pools are in terrible shape. Many of them haven't received any care over the last 20 years, 25 years. So I've decided to do a study, and we're going to redo Memorial Pool. And obviously, it can't be a Cadillac plan. We have to live within our means. But we want to make it a destination pool. We want to redo it. And the infrastructure of the pool is in very poor condition. And there will be, well, I just announced that Memorial will be closed for 2018 and 2019. We are looking at final designs. We'll make the final design public. We had some meetings where the public had input. They came in with some very good recommendations. And we want to make it a family destination pool, Memorial. And then my plan is to also upgrade some of the other pools in the city, and then also do our parks. This past year, we got new equipment for 5 parks. We'll probably do 4 or 5 more parks this year, new equipment. So my goal over the next 4 years is to really have most of the parks all redone, the pools in good shape. We may consider, for example, like I'm going to open up Clearview Pool this year. That's been closed for 2 years to compensate for the loss of Memorial Pool. But then when Memorial opens in 2 years, I might consider, and we're looking at this, and Jane Purser does a very good job as head of recreation, possibility of just having a splash park there.
And that's we have that at Yasco,
we
right?
have a combination pool and a splash park at Yasco.
Okay.
And it's worked very well. So there's different things that we're looking at. The number of people that actually go swimming, the numbers are way down in all urban communities.
Yes, they are.
I mean, it's really unbelievable. As you know, last year we had difficulty getting lifeguards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have really worked with the schools, Liberty of Freedom, and very aggressive with the various organizations trying to recruit people, to be lifeguards in the city this year. I think we should be in pretty good shape. But it's amazing that the number of people going into the pools are it's the lowest it's ever been. And that's par for the course with other communities, too.
Well, and the other thing is children today, I mean, when I came to Bethlehem 40 years ago, was for the parks because we were expanding and growing and we had these therapeutic playgrounds. We had regular playgrounds. We had all these neighborhood pools and parks. But kids don't come out like that anymore. It's rare when you're driving
exactly
down
right.
the street to see kids playing outside.
Right.
And and their parents are generally working. So what happens, in the summer? They can't get to the pools.
Mm-hmm. And here we have a beautiful park down at Saucon, one of the largest parks. And, I had to basically close the park in a sense. And the last 3 years, we took ownership back. But from Mother's Day till Labor Day, we have two police officers at the entrances because we were getting inundated on a Saturday or Sunday by 1,000 people coming from New York and New Jersey. And it wasn't the 1,000 people coming, but it was the amount of vandalism taking place on the park and in the stream, and which is a high-quality stream.
And the fishing.
Absolutely. So we had to do something, and I met with the neighbors. I got their input, and we implemented it. It's a cost to the city of about $30,000 at overtime. But now we actually have control. We passed new rules for all the parks and the pools. And I want to give City Council a lot of credit working with them on that. And we took ownership back. And now when people see the new rules, many of them will just turn around when they get off of I-78. We're very close to Newark. We're very close to Camden and New York City. So 78 is an hour drive.
Main artery,
when they find our new rules and see two police officers at the entrance, many times now they're turning around, which is good. But if we could make that a family park again, that would really be nice because it's a gorgeous park.
Oh, yeah, it was a beautiful park.
I agree.
Yeah, built back in the 30s, right?
Probably during the Depression because of the stonework, so in the 30s.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, some of those people, I know that other municipalities in the area were having problems too. I think
absolutely.
Palmer
Township was having some problems. Yeah. Allentown up north. So all communities, and they come for the water. That's the draw.
Right.
They come for the water, and we were the first stop, basically, off of 78.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about what's been accomplished because, you talked about the street repair,
right.
which and you said, 17 miles of street repair, but that's 8,000 potholes that you guys filled, correct?
We fixed last year 8,000 potholes. I have a feeling that number is going to be higher this year because of all the snow and the condition of our streets. And that's why it's so important to really have an aggressive program of street overlays. And if we could do, 13, 15 miles a year, we'll play catch up. But my goal is to spend about, last year I think we spent close to $1 million on street overlays. It's very expensive. Now this year, since the Fahey Bridge is finished,
And that's a beautiful bridge, by the way.
PennDOT did a very good job.
Yeah.
PennDOT is going to overlay for the city Center Street from the bridge right out to Route 22 in 2018. In 2019, Linden Street, 191, from Niskey Hill Cemetery right out to 22 will be overlaid in 2019. So you will see a lot of gas work being done on Linden Street because all the gas work was done and traffic signals done on Center Street this past year. Unfortunately for many of our residents, the inconvenience of UGI is going to probably continue for about another 5, 6, 7 years because the lines have to be replaced because of the tragedy in Allentown. They're doing it everywhere. We're an older community. We're a built-out community. And it's an inconvenience, and it takes time. I understand many times the frustration of the citizens, but it has to be done
for
the safety.
It's better than a blast.
That's exactly right. And But the residents will notice that, you know, 512 Center Street will be overlaid in next year, 191.
So there's a coordination between the public property and UGI so that we're not overlaying and doing
That's
things
correct.
Before. Because it used to seem years ago that, you know, no sooner would a street get done than it was torn up again because of something.
Right. So we have good cooperation with UGI. Mike Alcohol, the head of Public Works, works very closely in coordinating different plans. So, but, you know, for people that live on side streets, et cetera, there's a lot of inconvenience and frustration, and I understand it. But it takes time. You know, UGI is a separate entity. They got to work at their own pace.
Well, they've got three cities here,
and they got three major cities. Exactly right. So, so we'll do quite a bit on street overlays. Like you said, you know, we have 250 miles of streets. That's a lot, 19 square miles. We're actually larger, many people don't realize this, in area than the city of Allentown. Allentown's 15 square miles, and we're 19 square miles. So in area, Bethlehem is larger than the city of Allentown, but Allentown has, you know, roughly 120,000 people. We are around, you know, 76,000 people. So, you know, basic services, though, I think is very important to residents. If people see street overlays, if they see their parks being fixed and repaired, they at least realize that, you know, they're getting something for their taxes. If they see police in their neighborhoods, if they get a, you know, if they need EMS. And last year, by the way, our EMS handled 12,000 calls. That's an incredible number of calls being handled by Bethlehem EMS. And out of the 12,000 calls, 95% of those calls were responded by Bethlehem paramedics, not an outside agency. The only times an outside agency will come in is if our paramedics are stretched.
Yeah.
And we have three teams of paramedics during the day shift, two teams at night shift. But just think about it, 12,000 calls. And the projections for 2018 will probably be around 12,250. Each year it goes up by 150 to 200 calls. And that's an area where we may actually have to hire additional people in the future because of the number of calls.
Wow. How many stations, EMS stations, do
we have? We have two. One right off of Stefco Boulevard, going north. It's on the right-hand side by the city garage. And right by Bethlehem Catholic High School, the old fire station, now has been renovated into an EMS station. So we have two to cover the city.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, well, we've talked about what has been. Let's turn it a little bit. What's going to happen more besides the overlays in 2018 and beyond 2018, Bob? What are you hoping for with your accomplishments for your second term?
Well, we want to look definitely at basic services. So streets is a priority. The park's a priority. Expanding the greenway walkability is very, very important. To have a balance in our downtowns, not just all restaurants. We just completed a market analysis study to try to recruit small businesses to come into South Bethlehem and the west side and North Bethlehem. And so we're working with some private business people, small business people, to see if they're interested in coming to the city of Bethlehem. We want to have a vibrant downtown, but we want to have a balanced downtown. We don't want to have all restaurants. But, you know, the more people you bring downtown, the better off you are, in my opinion. And I want to see more housing downtown. I would like to see, you know, even the block where the Boyd movie theater is. I'm hoping that the owner would move forward on a plan. That block, I think, is underutilized. There's a lot of potential on that block there. We just had the Benner Project approved last week for a high-end apartments off the Broad Street Bridge.
I read about that.
He and Jeff Parks are partnering together. I think that's a great project because it's right within walking distance of the downtowns. Public safety is very important. We want to maintain that Bethlehem is a safe city and a clean city with a high quality of life. And so that's an important goal over the next 4 years. And we want to continue with economic development. We really see some great development taking place along 3rd Street now and 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the new office building at 3rd and New, anchored by St. Luke's and Lehigh University, and they deserve a lot of credit. When I became mayor, I met with Rick Anderson and President Simon and made it a point that I wanted them to be a partner. I wanted them to come off campus. And I can't speak more highly of, you know, St. Luke's and Lehigh University, that they have come off campus. They made a significant commitment. There'll be at least 250 people working in that building.
Nice.
That should create foot traffic for the businesses. Nice. So I would expect, hopefully, some new businesses to pop up on 3rd Street. We opened a 626-car garage, because we need it, the garage. They're not just for St. Luke's and Lehigh, but for all the development taking place. The ice house that Lehigh owns across from the liquor store, Craddy Corner from the liquor store, mm-hmm. that's going to be developed into residential housing for Lehigh grad students with some retail. So that corridor needed additional parking to help the conference suites and all the development there. But now if you go down by Steel Stacks at Arts Quest, you have the community college there, the charter school. You have the Perucci building going up right across the street.
That is going up fast.
Going up fast. That's Perone Development's first building out of three buildings going up.
Wow.
So you need, and I do have $2.5 million from the governor of our cap money for a second garage there on 3rd Street that would be in between the community college and the charter school, that parking lot. That'd be about a 500-car garage. I really think over the next 5 years, my goal is to see a lot of these development projects on the south side near completion. When we look at Lehigh Valley Industrial Park 7, which is all the old Bethlehem Steel property from the casino right down I-78, plus 500 acres owned by what we call Majestic, which is Mr. Roski out of California, we have looked at, it's hard to believe that in a matter of 20 years, we have invested $1.2 billion on that site, the former Bethlehem Steel site. And the next time you drive by on 412 and you look left, we have 9,000 people working on a former Bethlehem Steel site. It's hard to believe. An investment of $1.2 billion and 9,000 people, you would not think about some of. So we're including though people that work at the Sands and Arts Quest, the community college, but then all the big box companies and the high-tech companies that we have, and LVIP 7 right up to I-78. 9,000 people are working there.
Wow. Wow. And listeners, we're going to talk a little bit about this when we come back, but we seem to have a very nice mix of sort of e-commerce, large box, plus independent retailers,
right.
And it's that mix, I think, that's going to be extremely helpful to stabilize the future,
right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we're very fortunate. We had some investors years ago develop the LVIP philosophy or model.
Well, I think we had visionaries. I mean, I think when you look at the visionaries, if we go back to the 1950s, you just have to ask yourself the question, Bethlehem, the city of Bethlehem was a one-industry town with Bethlehem Steel.
Right.
We had 25,000 people working in a Bethlehem plant 25 years ago. Mack Trucks was the main plant in Allentown. And we had a group of people, very bipartisan, of business leaders that said, let's buy land and we'll call it Lehigh Valley Industrial Parks, number one. Well, LVIP 1 is actually in the city of Bethlehem. It's right across from the airport.
Right.
LVIP 7, the latest one, is the former Bethlehem Steel property. But where would the Lehigh Valley be, my point is, without the industrial parks of thousands and thousands of jobs providing, that are provided to people because of the vision of the people back in the 1950s when they said, let's buy land and call it and form an industrial park. And if I may make one other quick point, we had visionaries in the Bethlehem school system back in the 1960s when they said, let's consolidate and let's make Fountain Hill, Hanover Township, Bethlehem Township, Freemansburg, all part of the Bethlehem school system. And now where would the city of Bethlehem be if it was just a city school district versus an area school district?
And let's hold that thought. Listeners, we're going to take another short break. And as you're listening, my guest this evening is Mayor Bob Donches, Mayor of Bethlehem. And I'm Sally Hanlon. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse with our guest this evening, who is Mayor Bob Donches, Mayor of the City of Bethlehem. And we're talking about the status of the City of Bethlehem. We've talked about the history a little bit, and we're going to go into a little bit more of the future and what you can be on the lookout for in the City of Bethlehem and surrounding. So, Bob, when we took a break, we were talking about some of the visionaries of the Lehigh Valley who basically built the model for the industrial park system. But we've got some other things going on that I think are sort of visionary, people thinking ahead. And recently the Hotel Bethlehem has a plan, and something's happening with the Sands. And let's talk a little bit about that, if we could, and then some of the other developments that are going on.
You know, I think that I think one of the things that are very important for any elected official, especially an executive as mayor, is you have to reach out and work with people and form partnerships. And we, as a city, have a very good relationship and a great partnership with Lehigh University, Moravian College, St. Luke's, Lehigh Valley Hospital, Northampton Community College, and many other organizations. The Ambassador Program on South Bethel, for example, is paid for by Lehigh University. Yeah. And that's been a very, very successful program. Lehigh University pays for 2 housing inspectors for the city of Bethlehem. So that has really changed the appearance of South Bethlehem, especially on the corridor. The visionaries are very important, and where we left off talking about the Lehigh Valley Industrial Parks, but also the Bethlehem area school system. I taught in Allentown for many, many years, and if I remember correctly, at the same time when Bethlehem consolidated and formed an area school district, so it's, you know, urban and suburban, I think Allentown had the opportunity of consolidating with Salisbury Township, and they decided not to. So they're strictly a city school district. And I think in the long run, that was a poor decision because it hurt them in the long run looking back. So I think it's, you know, very, very important to, you know, work together. Hotel Bethlehem, which is, you know, our flagship in a sense, the anchor of Main Street. You know, Mr. Haynes has proposed a very ambitious expansion of the program. I recommend the CRIS incentives for the hotel, and hopefully that will be approved. And I think that, you know, the expansion of the hotel with a convention center and a new garage would be great for Main Street, will be great for the city, but really an anchor for Main Street will bring more people into downtown, and that's what we're looking at. And that's a very, very important project. And I think when you're looking at some, you know, I think when Bethlehem Steel closed, the mayors formed partnerships, and we have a very diverse economy. We have a lot of young startup businesses through a program called KIZ, mm-hmm. where for startup businesses and incubator businesses, we have the former CEO, I believe, Richard Thompson of Fresh Pet, purchased a building behind the charter school on 3rd Street, and it's going to be called The Factory, and it's going to be a study where they're going to, it's a high-tech research development accelerator, and they're going to be testing products in the food and beverage industry to make them better, to put them out on market. And he's very, very invested in this. It's going to be a great project. And it's, you know, when you bring in people of the caliber of Richard Thompson, for example, that come to Bethlehem and they want to invest in your community, that's a plus. And so I think that when you look at the city, I think we're fortunate that we're not a one industry town. We have a very diverse economy. We have manufacturing in the industrial parks that many people are not aware of, Curtis Wright, Lehigh Heavy Forge, just to name 2. We have distribution centers from Walmart e-commerce, to Zulily, to Primark, to Crayola, mm-hmm. that are providing thousands of people with jobs and benefits. The Sands Casino, and they just announced that they may be purchased by an Indian company from Alabama, and that the regulatory process will possibly take up to 9 months. But, you know, the Sands does provide people with, you know, 2,500 people with jobs and benefits, and that's very important to the community too. So I think that, you know, when you sit back and say, wow, what could you do? There's always something to do, and you're just going to keep moving forward, working together. And I do want to give City Council a lot of credit here, because we've had a great partnership working together on the President Reynolds and myself and members of council that will continue with President Waldron, and working together. Sometimes you have to compromise, but we all realize that, you know, Bethlehem has to continue to move forward. And I think we're very unique in the city. We've always had that reputation, and we just want to continue to move our city forward.
Well, and I think Bethlehem has had a unique situation with volunteers and people promoting it.
No question about it.
I didn't see that when I lived in Easton. Now, that was a long time ago, nor when I lived in Allentown. But Bethlehem seems to be a magnet for people who just want to give back to the community.
Well, we have the largest free outdoor festival each year for 10 days called Music Fest.
Right.
And there would be no Music Fest if it wasn't for the volunteers. When you have over 1,000 volunteers, volunteering for 10 days and really even before the festival, after the festival. That says something about the community spirit of Bethlehem. We had two citizens donate money to buy our two new police dogs. They just called when they read that one passed away. We had to put one down. We had Lehigh University and Moravian College each buy us a new horse. So
I
we have four
that.
Horses.
Yes.
And you talk about community spirit, Sally.
Yeah.
We opened up a new mounted barn unit right by Holy Savior Cemetery across from Spring Garden Elementary on Linden Street. And I invite everyone to go see it. It's a marvel. $550,000 of private contributions, not one penny of city tax money. You talk about volunteerism and community mm-hmm. spirit. That's a great example of the community coming together and donating money to build a new barn for the mounted unit.
And that's a rare. Mounted units are not that.
No, Philadelphia, Bethlehem, I think,
Lancaster?
Pittsburgh, and Lancaster, because we do use Lancaster horses during Music Fest along with the state police horses. And, you know, we have a great partnership with Cassie Hilgert and Music Fest Arts Quest, and we plan 4 or 5 months out to make the festival as safe as possible. Because in this day and age, you can't take anything for granted. So there's a lot of things we do quietly that the public will not see, but just to try to make it as safe a festival as possible.
Well, and I know that there's a lot of planning that goes into that.
And, absolutely.
You know, because
absolutely.
You know, you see the trailers, and they just don't appear.
No,
you know,
I mean, even if something, you know, if somebody were to get ill, you know, which way did the EMS van come in? Or if there was a crisis, where would the helicopters land? We have a plan for all of that. Where would be the command center? So we meet, and we really have a very good plan. And again, it's a good partnership with Northampton County and Arts Quest and some other agencies that I really don't want to mention at the moment.
Yeah, That's fine. Now, we've talked a lot about Main Street. We've talked about Southside. But there's also the Steffco Boulevard. There's West Broad Street. There's the Elm Street Project. Let's talk a little bit about the neighborhoods and what's happening there, what you see happening.
Bethlehem is a city of different neighborhoods, and we want to keep our neighborhoods strong. I've been very aggressive on code enforcement, as you may know. I have taken a property owner on 3rd Street to court for blight.
And thank you.
You know, we have been winning all the cases. We're up before the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. This is a building that has been in disrepair for 20 years. And I decided I had enough. And we've been very aggressive. But it's frustrating because the process takes time.
Yeah.
While the property still deteriorates, it affects people that are in the building. But it also affects in the neighborhood. We're going to be just as aggressive going after. We have a list of blighted properties, whether it's commercial or residential, because all you need is one cancer on the block, and it deteriorates the whole block, and it declines the property value. So I want to be very aggressive at code enforcement. We're going to be aggressive on blight in the neighborhoods. And we have this great Northside Vision 2027 that President Reynolds, Councilman Reynolds, now proposed, and we are working on that, and that would look at basically from on the north side from Maple Street and Broad down to Main Street and Broad and going out to almost Elizabeth Avenue. That's just a rough area. And we want to look at all the neighborhoods, all the buildings and residential, and see what we could do to improve. It's almost like the Southside Vision Plan that we've had for 20 years. So that's something we'll be making more announcements on probably in June. We had a meeting at Moravian College attended by about 150 people, very positive from the neighborhoods, very impressed with the plan. And so that's an area where you want to look at. I think that, you know, you want to have strong neighborhoods. You want to have strong code enforcement. You want to have a safe community. You want to have a clean community. You want to have a walkable community. Walkability is very important. And that is what attracts young people into your city. And we got to continue to see the transition of older people to, you know, many of them go to, you know, 55 and over, retirement homes. But we want young millennials coming in and raising their families here. And we're very fortunate to have a very, very good school system led by Superintendent Dr. Roy. The fact that we have an outstanding and very progressive school system, in my opinion, I believe the city and the school system are joined at the hip.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have a strong school system and a very progressive school system led by Mike Fasciano on the board and by Dr. Roy, that would hurt the city of Bethlehem, because that's the first thing they ask me is, how's your school system? What's your crime rate when I meet with developers? And the fact that we have an outstanding, you know, a very progressive school system with gifted programs and a very progressive curriculum is a plus, because it attracts business to your community and attracts young millennials to come to Bethlehem to live.
Right, absolutely. I mean, when people are looking for a place to live, it's not just the house.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, what's surrounding the house. Now, you had mentioned earlier about 911
right.
being absorbed into the county.
Very important.
And you're looking at doing something as an offset?
That's correct. We are really actively exploring the possibility, since we do have to consolidate no later than May of 2019. We're mandated, as Allentown's mandated, to consolidate with Lehigh County by May of 2019. That means all calls when you dial 911 will be dispatched from the Northampton community, from the Northampton 911 center, which is located right next to Graysdale. I felt that it was very important to have a command center in the city of Bethlehem like we do now, and we will continue to have one, because we have over 100 special events a year. We have the festivals. We need a separate operation. But I'm exploring the possibility of a 311 system that may be that you would call in 311 or an app on your phone for 311.
Right.
That if you have a non-emergency, that you could just call 311. You won't have to remember the non-emergency number. It will strictly be 311. So it's something that we're looking at. I think we might go the way of the app, and something I hope to announce maybe at the end of this year, early next year, and that's very important. And we're also trying to provide as much data to the public on OpenGov, and we're going to have an open portal. I think that the public deserves to know as much about what's going on in City Hall as possible, and we want them to have complete access. So we're in the process of changing our host system, and again, City Council deserves a lot of credit because it's something that they pushed, especially President Reynolds and Mr. Martell. And so we're going to try to put as much information on the website for the public that they don't have to call the department. They could just go right to the portal and look and see, okay, how many arrests were in the city of Bethlehem? How many inspections was done last year? That this would be just, you know, a couple clicks away.
Okay. And with all this technology, obviously we're utilizing like the GIS
Absolutely.
And a whole bunch of things to help us, right?
The GIS, I'll give you two examples. Number one, rather than having we're implementing this throughout the city, it will take about another year to 2 years, but when the water person goes to your house and reads the water meter, we're using a new system where they just have to drive down your street and the computer takes the right off the meter.
Wow.
And that's technology. And the GIS, every truck, let's say for snow plowing, has a GIS tracking system on it. So if you were to say to me, the truck did not come down my street, well, all we got to do is check that truck. Let's see what time it went down your street. I could tell you the speed. I could tell you the time. So sometimes when residents call, we could show them the information. It's
yeah.
a little embarrassing. So we're trying to make everybody more accountable, but the technology is in it. That's one of the areas I am going to emphasize over the next 3 years. We need in City Hall to become more technology-minded. I want more tablets out I want the inspector to use more tablets. I want our police to use the tablets. Public Works, they're already using tablets to a certain degree in public health and in the community development. But I want to emphasize more technology for city workers over the next 3 years, because I think it's just the way to go.
Right. Well, it is. And everybody's attached to this thing called a phone.
Absolutely. I know I am.
Yeah. And, you know, that's where we're going to be doing
right.
everything from shopping to,
right.
you know, getting all of our information. And it's
people
incredible.
Want quick information. They want it fast. They want it quick. And they wanted to, and that's one of the things that we're emphasizing with our small business people, just to come back to that on, and we're going to be meeting with them in the next week or so, that people want information easy on we did a search engine optimization study,
right, right.
and that people don't want to just Google a certain thing. They want to just click once and have that information right there. They don't want to do three or four clicks on their phone or computer anymore. So that's changed tremendously in the last 3, 4, 5 years. And sometimes for a small business person, it's difficult to have an up-to-date web page or to have apps, but it's to survive. You need to do that today in the retail market.
Well, and I noticed Community Economic Development is doing training programs. Is
They're
that
doing
correct?
Training programs. That's right, for small business people to deal with digital marketing, and it's so important today.
It is, and it's very hard because, as I said earlier, both e-commerce and independent businesses are very important, and both will survive.
Right.
But when you're an independent business owner, you're doing everything.
That's right.
And it's so hard. It's hard enough to keep up on your inventory, on your customers, let alone the digital marketing that's required of you. So I think that's great.
Correct.
Yeah, I think you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. We have just about a minute or two left in our show. Bob, this has gone really quickly.
Okay, it's gone very fast.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
You had mentioned two things to me when we were talking at one point, or maybe it was in your presentation at the chamber, but staff development and resident satisfaction surveys were things that you were also interested
in doing.
That's
correct. Yeah, we're going to focus on customer satisfaction, really improving our webpage so people could get more information. But we also want to do have like one-stop shopping when you come in and file permits or for a special event. And then I want all the departments to do customer surveys and mm-hmm. see what the public has to say. If they're negative, then we need to approve. If they're positive, we know we're on the right track. But I think it's good to get feedback from the public, as we have done recently for the Parking Authority studies, and getting feedback from the community. So we certainly want to learn. We want to improve the efficiency of City Hall. We want to be more customer-friendly. And needless to say, if anyone ever wants to meet with the mayor, I do have an open door the second Monday of each month from 9 to 11 and from 1 to 3. No appointment necessary. You could just come in. Some days we see 5 people. Sometimes we'll see 15 people.
Wow.
And so second Monday of each month, open door, 9 to 11, 1 to 3, no appointment necessary.
Bob, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sally. I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure having you here. And I just, you know, we have to come back and have you revisit and get us an update in the future. I would like to thank also Neil Heaver, who is our operations director, who's manning the board this evening. Thank you for listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon.